Welcome to this month's look at the nursing headlines from Johns Hopkins. I'm Elizabeth Tracy.
Good morning, Elizabeth. I'm Patricia Davidson, and I'm Dean of the Johns Hopkins School of Nursing. It's wonderful to have you here with us today.
Always wonderful to see you. We're going to be talking today about two very timely issues. One of them, the opioid crisis, and the other one, gun violence, and especially with regard to domestic partner violence. Of those two very sobering topics, which one would you like to start with?
Let's start with the opioid epidemic. They're probably not overtly linked, but I think it really speaks to some of the social determinants of health that really influence outcomes more broadly. The opioid crisis is really a sad indictment on our society and our health system in many ways, and we're all to blame, including me. I have thought one of the first courses that I taught as a new faculty member 30 years ago was pain management. I was part of that generation. We really seriously thought at that time if pain was real, as perceived by the patient, addiction wasn't going to happen. There has been this societal shift to the quick fix of pharmacological agents. If I wanted to talk to you about imagery or some cognitive behavioral techniques, that's very hard to achieve in a 5 to 7 minute consultation. And we know access to many of the non-pharmacological techniques, reimbursement is a challenge.
Yeah, this is a very, very complex problem. I think you put your finger right on it when you said you were raised at a time when we morphed pain into the fifth vital sign.
And not just me, I raised a whole generation of nurses. And then we have this quality measure. No, I think it's a wake-up call on so many issues. You know, we often think about drug addiction of inner city kids, and, you know, this is really happening in 85-year-olds.
How about how are nurses going to get involved in this approach to trying to develop something that's going to help in the opioid crisis?
Some conversations I've been having this week make us think before we write that prescription or before we counsel a patient on how to take this medication, there's probably some clear signals for risk that we have not really understood and clarified. Sometimes some behavioral components. And I really think that's where nurses have the opportunity to sit down and talk to people. Opioids were intended for short-term acute surgical pain. And that's another thing that we're finding is that it's getting harder for people with real pain, particularly in the palliative care setting, to get opioids. So that's kind of a tragic. Both these issues that we're going to talk about today, intimate partner violence and opioid addiction, just scream out for a strong primary care health system where there is continuity and coordination. People understand the patient and there's monitoring over time.
I think another pivotal part of this relationship you describe with regard to continuity is trust. Because when I put myself into the place of the patient, either in revealing behaviors that might lead me into opioid addiction or revealing that I might be being abused by my partner, I need to really be able to trust that person in order to reveal that.
Absolutely. These are some of the unintended consequences of the electronic health record. People are reluctant to put things, particularly in the medical record, that can be discoverable in litigation, down from child custody issues through to a whole range of things. So trust is absolutely the key. And how do we really protect people's information in electronic health records? I think we've really got to rethink the whole model of care delivery, because remember that the physician/nurse practitioner is really structured around a unidirectional interaction where the patient comes in with a problem, and you as the expert generally write a prescription, a consultation finished. We know that these issues require a lot of discussion. They require trust, as you've mentioned, reciprocity, and a holistic assessment of just not the physical needs, but social, psychological, and spiritual. I know from my work in palliative care, existential distress can really be a huge barrier to symptom relief.
highly individualized, of course. No question that that's where we need to head. Let's switch then to domestic partner violence and gun control.
Yes, we've been thinking about that a lot here in the school. And of course, we have world-leading experts, Dr. Jackie Campbell and Dr. Nancy Glass, who've been widely cited in the media since the Texas shooting. There were some pretty strong signals there that individuals should not have had a gun. How, in this day and age, do we not link all these data sources to see that people are at risk? We know that the gun control debate is hotly contested in the United States and is enveloped in a whole lot of issues around personal choice and constitutional reasons. But I don't think we can stand back as a nation and just let these things happen. The regularity is stunning and chilling. And it's just not those individuals who die. The ripple effect and distress is continuing. But we know that gun control is critical. Possession of guns, domestic conflict, is a recipe for disaster.
And also something that nurses can be really instrumental in screening for risk factors for.
Screening for risk factors. And these are not events that happen overnight. There's often a clear trajectory. So just making people aware of the danger is really important and making sure that they have a plan for action. Gun control is a health issue. It's strongly linked with mental health issues. And as we've talked about before, the rate of suicide, particularly around young men and in Native American populations, is just chilling. If we think about how apoplectic everyone became over Ebola, and yet we see every day just people dying needlessly and more toddlers dying than from infectious diseases. I really hope that as the calendar turns for 2018, we can have a much more cohesive, logical argument about addressing gun control, because so many people are needlessly dying. And we know that if you are a victim of intimate partner violence, whether you are male or female, having a gun in the house is clearly a signal that things can go wrong. Punching someone or stabbing someone is challenging, but a bullet through the heart is pretty hard to mend. As people are being assessed in lots of situations from the emergency department, from maternity wards, that we really think about these issues and concerns.
So I would say, in ending, that here we are on the eve of the holiday season, and at least I will turn to giving thanks that people like you and your fellows are considering these issues to the common good, to the good of all.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth, and thank you for giving a voice to these important issues. I think when tough things happen, nurses and health professionals do not run away. At Hopkins, we have so many amazing things, but last week I watched the movie Barbarianism. If we want a signal of courage, humanity, and selflessness, what those health professionals do to stand risking their lives for the betterment of others, it really makes us feel that being a health professional, whether you're a doctor, a nurse, PT, or pharmacist, you know, we're part of a greater community with the strong compulsion to make the world a better place. And here at Johns Hopkins, we have the most amazing talent. And I think we are the place that's going to help collectively drive the solutions to these problems.
That's a wonderful, wonderful ending. On that note, that's a look at this month's nursing headlines from Johns Hopkins.